God bless you, Brother Chris, and our choir. Thank you to our audio-video volunteers for their work this morning and leading up to this morning. You guys did tremendous. I want to invite you to take your Bibles this morning and find 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. I want to tell you a brief story this morning, and it's my story. We're going to take a couple of Sundays out of John's Gospel today and next Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, and we'll return to John's Gospel on April the 16th. But I want to tell you my story from 38 years ago today. I was born in Cleburne, Texas on March the 11th, 1975. My dad had been born and raised in Arkansas, but after he finished high school and a few years of college, he came to Texas to work and worked for 25 plus years for Vought Aerospace and Defense, or Northrop Grumman. You may know that name, in Grand Prairie. And he took early retirement and moved back to Arkansas and back to Waldron, where he grew up. My mom was from Venus, Texas, small town in Johnson County. She came from a large family, having three brothers and two sisters, and then two other siblings that died in infancy. And she, not long ago, has moved back to Venus and still lives there today, again, where she grew up with her family. I'm the only child of my mom and dad, and we lived in Venus for 7 years. Until I was 7 years old. But when I was five, my mom and dad divorced. And I lived with my mom from that point forward, but I would go to stay with my dad every other weekend and 2 weeks during the summer, and we alternated Christmas and Thanksgiving holidays. My mom and I lived in Venus for two more years after she and my dad were divorced, and I went to Venus Elementary for kindergarten and first grade. And while growing up in a broken home was difficult, I was grateful and thankful for my mom's side of the family, my grandparents, many aunts and uncles and cousins living there in Venus and getting to see them regularly. My family attended First Baptist Church in Venus. My mom was the church pianist. My dad was a deacon. And as I said previously, a lot of my mom's family attended First Baptist Venus as well. After I finished the first grade, my mom remarried, and we moved to Alvarado, about 7 miles west of Venus, and we moved into a house with my stepdad. My stepdad had three sons who became my stepbrothers, but they were all considerably older than I was, and they lived with their mom. I started the second grade at Alvarado Elementary in 1982 and continued there until the 12th grade, or through the 12th grade, when I graduated from Alvarado High School in 1993. But on April the 2nd, 1985, 38 years ago today, my life was changed forever. As I mentioned previously, my family and I attended First Baptist Church in Venus, and that remained true even after we moved to Alvarado. My mom and I would go to Sunday school. We would go to our Sunday morning worship. We would go back for our Sunday evening worship, but my stepdad rarely attended, if ever. I was 10 years old in 1985, and I was old enough, after having been to Sunday school and had sat through worship services, that I began to have questions about what would happen when I died. I began to have questions about heaven and hell. I began to wonder, when I died, where would I go? To heaven or to hell? As Venus was about a 10-minute drive from Alvarado, and Mom and I made that drive every Sunday, at least twice on Sunday, I began to ask these questions of my mom. And she, like many of you as parents, said, "You know what? It would be a good idea, Richard, if you talked with our pastor." And so my mom made an appointment for our pastor to come by our house. Because my mom and stepdad both worked outside of Alvarado, actually in Cleburne when I was a kid, I came home after school every day and was at home by myself until my mom and dad got home. I don't know if we use this term anymore, but I was a latchkey kid. Some of you may be familiar with that term. It was a Tuesday afternoon, April the 2nd, 1985. I'd gotten out of school about 3 o'clock or so. And Mom had made an appointment for Brother Doug to come by our house at 4 o'clock. And so I came home after school that day, and I confess to you, I was a little bit nervous about meeting with Brother Doug. My mom had also planned to be there, and so she was taking off work early that day and would join us. So in our living room was a very, very large window, and you, when you were sitting on the couch or sitting in the recliner, you could see out of the window and you could see the street on which we lived, and specifically you could see cars going by. Our house number was 506. However, if our bushes were not trimmed accordingly, sometimes it was a little difficult to find that house number. And I remember seeing what I thought was Brother Doug's car. And he went by once, turned around, went by again, turned around, and I thought, should I go out and flag him down? Well, finally, he did pull into our driveway. And he came to the front door, rang the doorbell, and I let him in. My mom wasn't home yet, and so Brother Doug and I waited on her, but it was so awkward. Have you ever tried to talk to a preacher? I mean, what do they know about? Can they talk about the weather? Can they talk about politics? Can they talk about sports? Can they talk about anything other than the Bible? You know what I'm talking about. So, being nervous and not knowing what else to do, I turned on the television. If you've been here for any number of years, you know what I'm about to say, but we turned on my favorite show, The Dukes of Hazzard. And so there, Brother Doug and I sat watching Bo and Luke Duke and Uncle Jesse, Cooter, Boss Hogg, Roscoe Coltrane, waiting for my mom to get home, which was just a few minutes, although it seemed like hours. But finally, my mom got home. And with her sitting on the couch and Brother Doug sitting on the couch, Brother Doug then asked me about the questions that I had been asking of my mom. And then, very plainly and very clearly, Brother Doug shared the gospel with me, the gospel of 1 Corinthians 15. Would you look there in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 15? The Apostle Paul, writing to that church, said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand." You see that word gospel there in the text. Literally, it means good news. That's what gospel means. And it's good news for you. It's good news for your neighbor. It was good news for me. It was good news for the Corinthian church. And if you look in verses 3 and 4, you will see that there are two essential parts of the gospel. You could even describe them as two sides of a single coin. Look at verse 3. "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received." And here's the first part of the gospel: that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. You see, the first part of the gospel is death. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world. Jesus died on the cross for me. And Jesus died on the cross for you. However, there are a couple of presuppositions that we need to address before we think about Jesus dying on the cross for us. What is implied is that there is a holy God. Amen? And this holy God is without sin. He is completely good and righteous. That's the first presupposition. The second presupposition is that we, you and me, we are sinful. We were born into sin, and we have made choices that are sin. And it's our sin that separates us from God. Why? Because God is holy and we are not. And our sin debt requires that a penalty be paid. But you and I, as sinners, we're not capable of paying that penalty because we're not qualified. However, Jesus was sinless. Jesus was perfect. He was the Lamb of God without spot or blemish. And when Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and for me, the sinless Savior died for sinful humanity. The second part of the gospel is life. The first part is death. But the second part is life. Look at verse 4. "And that he," Jesus, "was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Jesus died on Friday. We're going to be recognizing that this coming Friday, on Good Friday. He was placed into a garden tomb, the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, on that same evening. and was there through the early hours of Sunday morning. Verse 4, that Jesus was raised on that third day. He was brought back to life by the Holy Spirit, never to die again. And because of that reality, you too can have eternal life today. I shared this about Dane just a moment ago, but it can be true of you as well. If you believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, by receiving Him into your heart, you can immediately have forgiveness of sin, a home in heaven when you die. And on that Tuesday afternoon, April the 2nd, 1985, Brother Doug asked me if I wanted to be saved. And I said yes. And so Brother Doug then invited me to pray after him. And so right there in my living room on the couch, with the sirens of the Dukes of Hazzard blaring in the background, Brother Doug prayed, and I repeated after him, and Jesus came into my life and saved me from my sins. And that was a Tuesday afternoon, 38 years ago today. The next Sunday was April the 7th. It was Palm Sunday. And after Brother Doug had preached that morning, he gave a public invitation, just like I'm going to do in just a moment. He was standing there at the front of the auditorium, small two-sectioned auditorium of First Baptist Church in Venus. We were all standing and singing. And I stepped out into that middle aisle, and I made my way to the front. And I told Brother Doug, "Brother Doug, I want to join the church, and I want to be baptized because I was saved this last Tuesday." He again prayed with me, asking God's favor upon my life, then introduced me to the church and shared with the church what had taken place in my life on Tuesday of the previous week. The reason that I came forward on that Sunday morning is because no one is born saved. Listen to that. No one in this room, no one outside of this room, no one is born saved. That Sunday morning, there was an invitation given. And I had made a personal decision on the Tuesday before to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You see, my mom didn't make that decision for me, and your parents can't make that decision for you. My pastor didn't make that decision for me, and I can't make that decision for you. That is an individual decision. And like Emory Baptist Church, if you wanted to join First Baptist Church in Venus, you had to request such. You just weren't a member because that's where you attended. You also had to make a conscious decision to join the church. And then the next Sunday was Easter Sunday, 1985. And on April the 14th, I was baptized that Sunday morning, because on April the 2nd, I had received Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. Today, I want to extend the same invitation to you that Brother Doug extended to me. Have you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, like I did 38 years ago today? If not, Would you today like for me to lead you in prayer, just like Brother Doug led me in prayer 38 years ago today? Would you like to receive forgiveness of sin, heaven and eternal life? But more than all of that, would you like to have a personal saving relationship with Jesus Christ? If you would, in just a moment, after I finish praying, I'm going to be standing here at the front, just like Brother Doug was 38 years ago on Palm Sunday. And I'm going to invite you to respond to the gospel today. Brother Chris will be leading us. We'll be standing and singing. I'll be here at the front. And today, if you would like to put your faith and trust in Christ for the very first time, we'd love to welcome you. Today, if you, as a born-again believer and someone who's been baptized and sees that God is leading you and your family to unite with Emory Baptist Church, we'd love to welcome you into church membership. But our invitation will be for you. And when you come, we will celebrate with you, just like Brother Doug and First Baptist Church in Venus did 38 years ago for me. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, I want to pray for us this morning. Ask God to be at work and in your life and in your heart. And if you've never received Christ as Lord and Savior, and God's Spirit has used His Word this morning from 1 Corinthians 15 to convict you of your lostness, to let you know that you're in need of a Savior. And today, if you would put your faith and trust in Christ, I'm going to invite you to step out of one of these aisles in just a moment. Make your way here to the front. I'd love to pray with you. You can simply pray after me. I'd love to celebrate what you are wanting God to do in your life. Rejoice with you. Love to introduce you to the church. Maybe you're here today and you're a guest. And again, you feel as if God is leading you and your family to Emory Baptist Church. We'd love to welcome you today. Maybe you're here this morning and you know Christ as Savior, but you have some friends or you have some family that they need to hear the gospel. They need to respond to the gospel like you have and like I have. If God has put those people on your heart this morning, I want to just pray for boldness and courage for you. God may want to use you to share the good news of the gospel with them. Father in heaven, thank you for this Lord's Day. Thank you that we have already gotten to see a beautiful picture of salvation. Father, thank you that Dane was saved several weeks ago, but today, Lord, he let Emory Baptist Church know that he's saved. Father, thank you for our choir and the message that they have presented this morning through song. Thank you, Father, for 38 years ago today when you convicted me of my sin and you gave me faith to believe and you drew me unto yourself and you saved me. Not of my own accord, but out of your grace and mercy. Thank you that you loved me that much. And Father, I pray that you have been at work this morning through my testimony and the words of 1 Corinthians 15, drawing individuals to faith in Christ for the very first time. I pray, Father, that you would give them faith to believe, give them courage to confess you publicly. Father, bless them for a new commitment that they would make to Christ. And for those, Lord, who will be leaving here today and sharing the gospel with family and friends, give them boldness and courage to be witnesses of what you have done in their lives. And Father, I pray that you'd bless their faithfulness. Father, we love you. We commit our invitation to you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet as Brother Chris comes to lead us? And I'll be here at the front today. I would invite you to respond to God's word.